Okay, welcome everybody to this evening's Monday night conference call. We've got quite a few things to look at. Maybe take 15 minutes or so. I never know how much time it's going to take to go through these things, but terrible guess anyway. And of course, after we kind of go through things and give updates and make some points that we want to make, then we'll open for conversations. Anybody has questions or comments and so on. First, I want to make note, anybody who has not gone up to the orientation online, they need to go do that, especially if you're, you know, getting ready for the election and you don't know what to do. I've gotten some calls. They wanted to get more details, and I've directed people to the orientation page, and you have to go through that and get prepared. And I think it's part five. As a matter of fact, I know it's part five, which shows people how to run the election. Part six lays out the plan that we have, the overall plan, both statewide and nationwide. It's the same for every state anyway. Right now, we're moving through the elections. The process is going through pretty good. This is going a lot better than I ever dreamed, to be honest with you. I never thought we'd be able to move this quick, but we are moving very quickly. We have 31 states on board as of this morning. Alaska came on today, and I was impressed that that happened. And of course, we have Hawaii on for a while. Anybody who knows anybody in Hawaii should make some calls to Hawaii and maybe even call that gentleman or that lady, whoever it was that signed up on Hawaii, just to call them and welcome them in and just talk with them. I'm going to give them a call soon myself. And we only have one person in Hawaii. I've talked to a couple people who have family in Hawaii, people who have come from Hawaii. I asked them to make contact with those people and connect them into what we're doing here, and connect them with our county organizers, especially the one in Hawaii for them. Now is the time to schedule jury elections. We're out of time. We are absolutely out of time. Look, even if you're one county in the state, do the election as you're working to try to get other counties involved. Do the election. And you don't have to file the papers. Once it's all done, you can put the papers into a folder and wait till five or six counties around you, sister counties particularly, do the same thing and then work out an arrangement. Well, okay, when we hit seven counties, we'll file, or whatever number you want to do. I mean, here in New York, we're looking at 17 counties minimum to file. We will have that in the next couple of weeks. As a matter of fact, the next couple of weeks, I believe, will come 30 or 40 counties. I believe by the end of August, we will have, if not have, all 62 counties. We'll have them all, and whatever's left will be moving towards the election. So that's what I perceive for New York. I have seen some people really organize very quickly. Pennsylvania is very impressive. It's huge, the amount of people they've gotten in. Just weeks ago, there was only a few of them, and we've got a lot of people in Pennsylvania moving through the game. The people out there are organizing. I know Hagen Smith is out there organizing particularly, and he's doing a great job, and those people are mobilizing. I've got quite a few phone calls from various people in Pennsylvania. And the key thing for everyone in Pennsylvania and everyone anywhere, is get onto that landing page. If you didn't save the landing page when you registered as a jurist in your county, if you didn't save that landing page, pop me an email, and we'll give it to you. You got to save it. You got to bookmark it because there's no link to it. And that is your instruction page. It's 8 hours of instruction on video. Plus, we have the downloads, all of the paperwork. Everything's ready. It's just a fill-in-the-blank paper forms to file and do everything you need to do. So it's very. We try to make it as simple as possible, and we also try to go into detail on how to do this. We did an update. I don't think I marked that update yet. You will find it on our Monday's page. Let's see, Monday Night Conference Call. Let me click on that. Down below the instructions on getting your grand jury is where we're posting the last meeting. So this was last week, 7/22. The week before, 7/15, this is the one. This is right here. This is, I believe, this is the one that we added information. We made some changes because we did some elections. We learned some of the problems we might come into. And so we kind of gave some additional instruction, and we changed a little bit of the structure of the paperwork. So this is the one to listen to watch. I think I'm going to move a copy of this over into the private page. Now, on the private page, let's see. Okay, on our private page, I made it big red letters so that people would see this. Maybe they missed it. Maybe it wasn't big enough. Read this page. Save this page. This is the orientation for the grand juries, for all the jurists. You must go through this page diligently. And I make the point, this is a private page. You must bookmark this page now so you can find it again. Now, right now it's 8 hours, and it's 8 hours because we're covering our plan. We're covering how to run the election, and that's taken a big piece of it. You know, it's probably half of it, and of the 8 hours. And that's necessary right now. But once we have all of our grand juries elected, or pretty much elected, once we have all of them elected, we're going to reduce that course down to maybe a 3 or 4 hour course for people who are coming into the system, because the elections will be over. They don't need to know how to do it. And also the plan will be in effect. They'll be actually involved in the plan. So, again, they don't need to know how to do that either. So that will be reduced eventually. And people who are, well, in any event, everyone should get out here and watch those 8 hours of video. Now, on this page here, let's go back. Yeah, this is the private page. On this private page, it is 05 for those who don't know. If you just scroll down to the video, that's 05. Let's see, right here, 05, the election process. Okay. This is the important video to go watch maybe a couple of times. It goes through the whole process of the election. I'm going to put that other video, as I mentioned, that's over here on the front page, this one, which is, I believe, the second one down. Tonight I'll be putting tonight or tomorrow morning I'll be putting another one, so this will become the third one down. It's 7/22, the one below that. 7/15, this is the one, 7/15. That's the one that gives additional instructions and changed a few things and some paperwork, okay? but back on our private page, here is the election process. We go through everything you need to do to get the election through, right down to the seal, what to write on the seal, the ordering of the seal, and right here is a download zip. Every file, every paper I show on this video is in this download zip, plus a few new ones. And in those new ones, there is a README, and it gives you kind of an overview of some of the changes. README first file. But everyone needs to go do this if they're going to run the election. At least one person in the county needs to understand this clearly. At least one. And if two or three or four of you understand it clearly, then if there are any errors, you can correct each other and get it done as best that we can. Okay, so this download zip has everything. Again, everything. All the papers you file.
I got a question here. Is the landing page the same as the private page?
Yes.
It is, right? I thought
so. The landing page, when you register, after you click register, you know, submit, you go to a landing page. That's a private page. Okay? So save this page, and I'll give it to everyone in this room, that private page, because probably everyone in this room is already signed up, and it's nationallibertyalliance.org/pages, plural, P-A-G-E-S, private HTML. You can see it up here, right on the top. Can you read that, Gerard? Is that too small, or can you see that? nationallibertyalliance.org/pages. And /private.html. So that's the landing page. If you didn't save it, get it and save it and devour that information. Now, on this landing page, it gives you all the instructions of everything you should do. You know, join our national online meetup. Okay, click on that to join it, or you'll find it at the top right here. This is our meetup. Join that page there. That's very important because that's where you get we use the calendar there. Any special events, you get the reminders. You get the Monday night meeting reminder. Any elections that are coming up, you hear about them. And again, if it becomes too much mail for you, there is a process. I might have put it right in here. Let's see. Okay, you know what? If I didn't put it in here, I will eventually get a copy here. I don't think I put it in here. But there is a very simple way to shut your email down to the process where you only get one email a day. So if there's 10 emails out there or 5 emails out there or 20 emails out there for the day, you'll only get one, and they'll be in the order, chronological order, inside that one as the email went out. So everyone should join. Again, just follow the instructions on this page. Get connected. Join our Monday night calls. Obviously, everyone that's here has got that message. They've joined our Monday night calls. We're starting to have more and more people show up, so that's a good thing. We have, again, 31 states involved. We have a couple of hundred leaders throughout the country moving this through, and we're growing exponentially, and it's just moving. So follow the instructions. Go through the orientation. Extremely important to do the orientation. We put all this information, everything in here is for a reason. We also have our grand jury handbook, a copy of that in PDF file. We'll get to, hopefully soon, we'll be able to afford to do something with setting up the handbooks and getting them ready where people could go and purchase them cheap. We're trying to get them cheap. I don't know what, maybe 60 cents, 50 cents. I don't know what they're going to cost yet, but we'll get them as cheap as we can. Now down here on the bottom of this page is further education. You know, I mean, as long as you get up to this point, you're okay. But really, we should all be educating ourselves. We have constitutional courses. We have common law courses. We have American history courses. We have courses on court access, and we even have Bible studies. So let's get educated. Let's understand what we're doing as best we can. Let's raise to the top and be able to master our what we're doing, and so therefore we can control our country. Someone asked me, paid positions for the administrative work, where will the money to pay for them come from? The answer to that question is pretty simple. Grand juries right now, many places are paid. They even get pensions. Okay, they have systems set up for these people. They have medical coverage, not pensions, medical coverage, and they have sick pay and some other things. So if you go into the state and you start some studying on the budgets, I think I went and studied the controller here in New York. I went into the controller, found a controller's page, and I looked up budgets, and I found the budgets for the different counties in the state, and I went through those, and that's where I found the budgets for the grand jury. And the budgets of the grand juries range from about $150,000 to $500,000 to $600,000 a year. That's the budgets I've been seeing. But that doesn't even include all of it because there's also a lot of administrative work that either the court or the prosecutor office is handling. And I got to believe the court's handling it, so the state's handling it. We need to remove that from them because that's what we're doing. We're going to take care of our own administrations. So our budgets may start somewhere. You know, I'll work on some kind of ideas we can hand in preliminary budgets to the controller, knowing that we're not sure exactly what kind of cost factors we're going to need, but I'm thinking we should probably ask somewhere at about $500,000, $500,000 for a yearly budget just to start off with, understanding and realizing it's probably going to go higher than that. But we'll put some projections out there soon on that. So it comes from the state, this money. excuse me. The paid positions are for administrative work, not for sitting as a grand jurist. No grand jurist sitting as a grand jurist, deciding as a grand jurist is paid. They all get their $30 a day for, you know, coming in for a couple of days or a day, whatever it's necessary. And that's to cover their expenses, okay? But that's all they get. Trial jurors get the same thing. That's what they're paying right now, $30 a day to cover their expenses. That's acceptable. We can't be paid for doing the people's business and our duty. And no one is required to do this every day as a job. You know, it's occasionally they get called, maybe once a year or something, and you get called for something. And the more and more people we have, the less and less you'll be called. Anybody who wants to participate on a higher level, if they want to be full-time and get a job out of this, they could. But, of course, the most qualified individual is going to take needs to take the job, or the potentially most qualified individual will take the jobs as foreman and secretaries. We need people who really understand how to do administrative work and control things and are willing to study the law and are putting full-time effort. They'll get full-time pay. But in theory, so to speak, when they sit as a foreman on a grand jury or a secretary or on a grand jury to keep the notes and the record, they're not getting paid for that. So now they won't get their $30 a day because they'll be on a salary for 40 hours a week or whatever we work out to be. And each county will work their own things out anyway. That's you do what you think you got to do. But we'll give you some examples and draw some budgets up and throw some ideas out, and then we'll figure it out as we go along. So how do we enlist grand jury members if we can't send emails, meetups, phone calls? Well, you know, someone asked that question in an email to me, so I'm answering it tonight. You can send all the emails you want out to entice people into the system. You can take this to the meetup groups. You can put it on the meetup groups. You can make phone calls to anybody you know in the Liberty group and try to get them out there to sign up. Now, when people sign up and they don't put their check the mark to be known who they are because they don't want to participate as a organizer, maybe they are, maybe they just don't want their name out there, that's their business, we have to respect that. I cannot give you those people's names, okay? That is entrusted in a few people only, okay? And we're going to expand that to more people as we feel we can trust more people, because no one individual holds the keys to this whole thing. It may appear that way at this moment, but believe me, the power is being shared so that if one person was to disappear or something, or something should happen, this is going to continue. This is not about a personality, and it may appear that I have a lot of control here, and I guess I do to some degree, but believe me, I'm trying to give away as much as I can. This continues no matter what happens to any one individual. And there are people well qualified to take my place and do other things that have to be done. And there's more than one person that's involved in dealing with the website. So, you know, by taking one person out or something like that, you know, things are going to continue. And there'll be another voice here if I'm the one that disappears. So, you know, it's beyond a one-person ban here at this point, way, way beyond that. And there's people throughout this whole country here now that are very much involved deeply in this on a very big level. Okay, let me see what else. Okay, one other thing. You know, it's very important to stay the course with the election prescription we wrote. Please do not veer from the election prescription. You know, you can overkill it if you want, that's fine, but definitely do not remove any of the things we put together, because we're out there to put on a good show. No one can turn around and say we didn't do the right thing. We're doing everything honorably. We're putting it in the newspapers. We're posting it on boards. We're telling the people, come, participate, come see what it's about. Now, again, we have government not by majority, but by the majority that participates. And so, whoever participates is going to get involved on the deeper end of things. A lot more people will come in through the system as we get going. We're going to talk later on as we start to develop enough grand juries across the country. We're going to start talking about different things like, you know, how do we go about really getting people to come into the system? You know, we need hundreds and thousands of people in every county. We need a large pool of people for jury. Bear in mind, there's going to be a lot less court cases because a lot of cases of people being convicted of things that are not crimes, and we're certainly not going to do that. number one. The other thing is restitution is the key thing. A lot of negotiations will take place from the standpoint of the grand jurists. So when a case comes before the grand jury and there's a victim, and of course then there is the violator, the defendant, okay, well, the grand jury will talk with the victim and see what is it that needs to be done to try to get them back into the state they were before they were violated, however they were violated. You know, how can restitution be made for you? And maybe we can come to an understanding and an agreement, and then we can figure out what we think should be. You know, we may give more, we may give less. That's up to the grand jury. Of course, we don't want to be too liberal in anything. You know, we want to be just is what we want to be. And so then we approach the person who we're ready to indict, who we believe is indictable, and we'll approach them with the arrangement. Look, if you can take restitution, pay restitution to this individual, and here's the prescription. And if you want, we'll draw up a contract. You'll agree to it, and we won't indict you. But break the contract, you will immediately be considered indicted. That's it. And we'll send you back to, we'll send you into the trial, and we'll let the trial jurors figure out what they're going to do with you. And it'll be far worse than whatever we agreed upon here, I'm sure, because there'll be a consequence for your dishonor in this agreement. So, and of course, we got to be merciful. You know, things happen. Life goes on. You may get a phone call, and you've got to just work the problems out. That's the people's business. That's the point of this whole thing. This is the people's business. Let's see. So we must put on a good show, and we must do due diligence. That's why we wrote the prescription of the way we're doing it. Remember, we're not electing people to be grand jurists. We're electing the grand jury process back in our counties, the common law grand jury process. And everybody that comes to that election is then invited into the game. Gerard, you need to mute your mic. So everybody is invited into the game, okay? And we tell them it's their duty. We just showed them films on why it's that's what these three videos are about. It's their duty. It's their heritage. You know, and you know what people have to realize, and this is key point that everybody wants to realize. Your heritage is common law. You gotta understand that and what it means. That's your heritage. The Declaration of Independence is a common law document. The Constitution and the Bill of Rights are common law documents. The Magna Carta is a common law document. The Bible is a common law document. Remember, you know, we have natural law. Common law and natural law are synonymous. It's the same thing. It's God's law. That's why no one could take it from you. When you remove God from the picture, then now you have man involved. And man may give it to you and man may take it from you. The populace may decide that you shouldn't have a right. You see, in God's rules, you know, 99 people can say no and one person say, I want it. And that's it. That one person gets it. 99 people may not get it or want it, but that one person will get it because he or she wants it. So this is the what we have to realize is that our heritage is common law. And we don't know what common law is unless we go out and learn it. And if you don't go out and learn it, you're going to lose your heritage because that's it. Search everywhere. Find out what the American heritage is. I'm telling you, it is common law is your heritage. And what you inherit, your heritage, what you inherit is liberty. You see? And you can only inherit it if you have your heritage. So it's so important to understand those concepts. Okay? And common law, you know, it's all about justice, and we're trying to turn our courts of injustice into justice. And remember, justice is synonymous, according to Black's Law Dictionary, is synonymous with virtue. So it right brings us right back to God's law, brings us back to mercy, it brings us back to honor, and it brings us back to justice. So that's where we have to be. When we move from there, we're going to lose it. You know, Benjamin Franklin said, only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become more corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. Okay? We have to understand what that means. Why is he saying that? You know, we have drug problems in this country. And we have drug problems because we created them ourselves by making things illegal, by not keeping control of our schools and teaching morals in our schools and removing all of the things that, that are close to the grassroots have been removed from our schools. And so, therefore, we do have drug problems. And when we make that legal, and it is legal right now, it, statutes don't make it illegal. As long as you believe it's illegal, then it's illegal in your mind and your reality. But you can't convict someone for, of smoking pot. You can't convict someone of sticking a needle in their arm. That's their business. You have the moral duty, maybe, if you have the opportunity to convince that person it's wrong, to try not to do it. And you'll call the ambulance when they OD, you know, and you'll pray for them or whatever you got to do, you know, that's fine. But look at, if that's what they want to do, that's what they want to do. But once we get past the initial shock, okay, and we get back into our schools, we no longer have drug dealers in the schools because it's legal. You can go to a drugstore or a liquor store or something, wherever they, we might sell those things, you know. They have access to it, the people who have these habits or want them. But that'll become less and less as we teach our children the right way and we bring morals back into the schools. And we have to realize, you know, Jefferson said, if I remember the quote, you know, I'd much rather be busy about dealing with the problems of liberty, many problems that may occur from too much liberty, than dealing with the problems of not enough liberty. And I know that's a paraphrase, but it's something like that. So we have to realize that, going back to Franklin again, only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. You see? Only a virtuous people, a godly people, only those people are capable of freedom. And that's why we connect so much of this to a relationship with God. We bring up the Bible from time to time, and we say words that some people faint at, and it is what it is because it's part of life, and it's where we get our heritage from. Our heritage comes from God. It does not come from man. And the moment you take God out of the process, you're going to fall, because you now have just man and his mind and what he thinks, and you'll end up back into tyranny. So, Jefferson said one other thing. Rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. We have to be rebellion to these tyrants. Of course, they're going to call us terrorists to them. We are probably terrorists to them. But nevertheless, we're lawful. Let's see what else I want to cover tonight before we open up. It is important to note that this does not become a political thing. Okay, I've talked to some people, and I think they realize it as soon as I respond back to them, and they realize politics can't play a role. We got to keep that in forefront. This is not about politics. Politics is about controlling. If you have political ideas and you think that you're going to be able to, you want to stop people from coming in because they have different ideas from you and so on and so forth, and you're trying to control the other side, that's we can't have any of that. And we have to nip that in the butt as soon as it shows up. And people realize it, and sometimes they're not conscious of it, but when the point is brought up and they understand we're focused in on justice and honor and mercy, it clicks. It clicks pretty quick, I think. So we just got to keep bringing that to the front, and we'll prevent ourselves from becoming political, because once we become political, it's done. It's over. Anyone who has a grand jury election scheduled, as soon as it's on the schedule, contact me immediately. Send me the state, the county, the location, you know, where the election's going to be held, and the time. And I will post it up on our meetup group, National Liberty Alliance meetup group. And then the emails will go out reminding people of that election. And so people who are close by that election can come. They'll see it's happening and they'll come. And also people next door in another county may come over again to see how things are going. So your state, your county, date and time, and the location. Okay, they've started moving across the country, so let's get moving. Everybody get moving. And again, I agree, we should all agree to this. Do not, if you're the only county in your state, don't file the papers. Get them all done. Get your election done. Help the county next door. Work on other counties. Help the state to go forward. And get the 5 or 10 counties in your state, preferably some around you particularly, so that you can support each other. If we have a rogue judge and we have to deal with it, and we're having a hard time dealing with that judge because he's trying to prevent us from having power, well, the county next door can indict them for us. The county next door can remove that person from office, bring them under indictment, and we'll go for another judge, and surely he doesn't want to be indicted. Maybe just under the threat of indictment, the judge will behave and allow it to go through. He cannot stop it. There's power in numbers, and this is how we're going to win, sticking together. And sometimes in some situations, we may want to really just jump on board and pile in on a situation that's put on a national, like let's say going against something like Monsanto. Okay, we want to pile on that one. We all want to indict that those people. But we'll have to have a hearing first and figure out what's going on and then make the decision on indictment or not. But there are certain things we want to act together on. Also, donate. You know, what's liberty worth to you? You got to keep us going. There's only one or two people paying for all this stuff, and believe me, the burden is way, way too much. It can no longer be endured. Everybody can afford $20. Come on, just put 20, go out and put $20. I hate to beg for money, but the reality is reality. You know, if the lights start going out, so to speak, you know, well, that's what your people decided because you're not helping pull the rope. If you only can afford $5, that's appreciated. But everybody, most everybody can afford $20 and they can throw it out every month until we get this thing really going. And the state takes control of paying the bills because all this needs to be paid for by the state anyway. But until then, we have to carry the load. And believe me, it's becoming very burdensome. You know, this program we're using right now, webinar, it costs a couple of $100 a month to do. And so the bills come in, they got to be paid. And so please, let's help out. Some people can afford more. I always hope that at some point maybe some guy with a lot of money realizes the potential here and really starts to throw some money in to help us go forward and really get done what has to be done. You know, it's unfortunate, but you need money. It is what it is. So we have to talk about the dirt sometimes. Another thing, 4 to 6 people.
Here's somebody.
Yeah. I lost you, Gerard.
I just wanted to pipe in. Somebody piped in over there. How come we don't have all 50 states on board? And that's one of the problems is that we're concentrating on this state, but it's a money problem too, because yeah.
That's grassroots. We have 31 states. We've been watching it grow for some time. Hey, remember, we only started with one state not too long ago. It was New York State. And a couple of states, I think it was some people from Florida came in, some California people, and then we had some Pennsylvanian people come in. And then they started to grow theirs, and we realized we had to go national, so we became a national thing. And the next thing you know, it every week we're growing more and more. I remember not long ago we were waiting to hit the 50% mark, and now we've got 31 states in, maybe more. And if you know anybody who knows anybody in the states that are not in the game yet, just go out to the county page. The leaders, any state that does not have a yellow highlight, we have nobody in it yet. We need people in it. So if you know people in those states, make a phone call, get them out to nationallibertyalliance.org, have them watch the video on the front page, follow up, see if they registered, ask them if they're going to become a leader. We need to get that state going. It's up to you. This is grassroots. It's up to you to save America. Only the people can save America. We don't do anything on the commercial end. We don't do anything. We don't do radio interviews that you know are in the airwaves. Only you know blog radio programs online. That's the only interviews we do. We don't talk to reporters or newspapers or especially the main media. Not that they've called us yet, but if they did, we'd ignore them. We want no part of that stuff until we get enough. Until we really reveal ourselves. By having a lot of, you know, grand juries being elected and then finally coming to be by filing their papers, then we'll deal with the media. Until then, we want to stay far away from them. So it's up to you to make a call to people in your sister counties. It's up to the state. If you've got 10 leaders in a state or 3 leaders in a state or 30 leaders in a state, you should come together with those leaders. You should talk and say, hey, a couple of us have got to focus in on the state side and go searching out people in counties that aren't on board yet. And you know, we have one person who's focused in now on the nation, and they're, you know, really looking to really push on the state level. We can use more help on that level, too. So if you want to volunteer, let us know and that'll be, and you don't even have to tell us. Just go do it. You don't need my permission. We don't need to know what you're doing. go do the people thing. You're free. You've got liberty. We're not slaves. Let's just go. You see a void open and the work has to be done. Go and go do it. Just go do it. Let's see. I'm almost done. Rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. I think I mentioned that. That was a quote I just realized today. Let me end this with one Bible quote, and then we'll open the lines. This is 1 Chronicles 28, verse 20. Be strong and of good courage and do it. I want to focus in on do it. You know, I think most of the people coming here, especially those who have decided to put their name and phone number up there as leaders, they just decided to do it. There's no time to fear. If fear drives us, we're going to lose. If people are like the proverbial ostrich with their head in the sand, we're going to lose. Forget the fear. There's no time. You want to fear? Do nothing. You want fear in your life? Do absolutely nothing. And you're going to get fear soon when the Nazis come watching down the street. You're going to get fear. Okay? I don't want that fear. I'd rather have, I don't even have fear anymore because I don't care. I'm just doing it. I'm trusting in God. Whatever happens, happens. Life goes on and or it doesn't go on. That's not my business. We can't be living a life in fear. So just do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even thy God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. If we're not doing God's work, I don't know what is. Okay? I know that God's work is preaching the gospel. I've preached the gospel for almost 30 years. I've been preaching and teaching many years, okay? And I still try to do that whenever I can. But also what has been put into my life is what I'm doing. And I'm doing this as honorably as I can. I'm bringing up first and foremost justice and honor and mercy. And I read my Bible every day, so I get my spiritual food, and I try to do the godly thing to the best I can. And I'm not a perfect person, and I'm a sinner just like anyone else. So, you know, it's a struggle for everyone in life. As long as we just make the right decisions on a daily basis, we're doing the right thing. We're doing the good thing. We're trying to bring justice back into the courts of injustice. We're trying to bring justice to the people who have been unjustly treated. Many of us are in that line. Okay, we want justice back in America. We want God back in America. And so that's what we're doing. And if we're doing that, we have nothing to fear. We need to be strong. We need to take God up on his word. You know, this is the Old Testament. The Jews agree with this. The Christians agree with this. The Muslims agree with this. And even I bet you to believe most agnostics agree with this. They don't have a problem with this. Be strong. Be of good courage. Do it. Don't be fear. Don't fear it. Do it. Fear not. Don't be dismayed, for the Lord God, even your God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee. That's a if you believe that, trust that, he's not going to fail you. He's not going to fail you. He's never failed me. God has never failed me, and I think I've been around for a few years. Nor forsake thee. He's not forsaken me until thou hast finished all the work of the service of the house of the Lord. So when I'm finished, then I'll be done, and I'll go home, and that'll be that. And I'm happy with that plan. And if that plan happens sooner than later, I'm happy with that plan too. I'm only concerned with my own family that they be provided for, and I do the best to prepare for that. But in any event, look it, let's just do it. Let's get it done. Let's make it happen. So let's get those elections. Go forward. You got 4 to 6 people. Set your election. You'll have more by the time you get the election. You'll have a lot of people coming in at the election, and you'll have people coming in after the election. You'll have people coming in that'll just find our website. You'll have people coming in, and you don't have to file the papers till you have a block of 5, 6, 7, 10 counties. Whatever it is you think is comfortable for your state, then you go forward. It's that simple. All right, let's open up for questions.
Just before you open up, I got a couple things. There was a couple questions that relate to what you just said, that some guy says he's the only one in the county. And I know there's other people in Michigan. Just know that you can share from county to county. Like John says, if you get those 4 people, you can start with 4 people, and you'll pick up people at the election. You let them sign up. So, and even the grand juries can operate. We can all pull from, you know, you can serve in the state. So if push comes to shove and you really got to do like a presentment where you need more jurors, you can pick up from the county next door or around. So, that's a a very good thing. You know, like this only takes four people to start. Anybody can get four people, and you can even borrow somebody from another county. The other thing is, John, you should think about making Lee a moderator, too, because he can answer some of these questions. He's out there.
Where is he?
Lee is there, and he would be good at doing some of the text chat stuff. McAllister.
Is that you, Lee?
He's there.
Yes, this is I. Hello.
Okay, how you doing? I'm going to make you an organizer, so hang on.
No.
Okay, there you go.
Uh-oh, more
responsibility. Now it's frightened. He may throw us out of the room, Gerard. You've got to be careful of this guy, you know?
Yeah. And somebody else asked, what is the restrictions? I mean, you know, what about somebody who was an ex-con? Or what are restrictions to being?
Why not? Look at it. If they went to jail and they're not on probation, and that's fine. And you know what? They may be an ex-con for a bogus law. So you got to figure that out, too. But you know what? Once a person is finished with their punishment, if we don't take them back into society and we continue to shun them, then why would we do that? I think that's evil. I think if a person pays their dues, not that they're paying their dues the right way, because sending people to prison isn't correcting anyone. Making restitution is what corrects something, and hopefully they get compassion through that process of restitution because they get to know the person who was their victim, and so on. So, yeah, listen.
I think a bigger restriction is the fact that they got to be a people. We don't want slaves. We want people that are not citizens where they don't understand. No.
Yeah, but
no,
we'll convert.
Yes, but they have to understand that if there's no injured party, there's no crime.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a big thing. So
that's up to the group.
Right. The restrictions would be make sure that they're listening to the tapes and they're educating themselves. You know what I mean?
Well, look at even that, you can't do that either. You know, look at they come in. If they're a disruptor, they're going to leave eventually because, you know, darkness doesn't like light to begin with. So they can only stay so long before they leave. But besides that, you can neutralize the problem individual and hopefully you can encourage the person to change. You might want to even embarrass them into, you know, you don't, come on, you got someone's life in your hands and you haven't even went and read or you haven't listened to any of the videos. You don't understand that this guy didn't commit a crime. Come on, embarrass them into doing the right thing. And they'll leave on their own at some point. If the group works on the one person, that's a problem. And either that person will change and they'll be a better person for it and you've done a good deed. And or they will just get tired of listening to it and just leave. So whichever works out, you can't control the end results. You can only hope for the best and pray and just do the right thing. And, you know, we got a lot of people who went to jail that are called convicts because they had to deal with the tax man because they refused to pay. And rightly
so. And all those other victimless crimes.
Right, the carrying a gun. You have a right to carry a weapon. Come on, give me a break. Driving, we got a guy facing 7 years in prison. 7 years for driving without a license. 7 years. Go figure that out. Okay, we need a jury down there real quick. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, that's about it. There, you got three hands up there, and I won't answer Jesse's question because he's got his hand up, so I guess he can ask it himself.
Okay, let's open Jesse up. Jesse, you got the mic.
Well, Marvin's been there before him, but go ahead.
Okay, we'll get Marvin next.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Jesse.
Okay, I had two quick questions. The first one that I had written down here that I sent to the staff, I don't have written anywhere else. Let me see if I can just get back here. The question was that I sent was, why does the file on demand sheet under item 6, press release, say 4 pages, I only have a single sheet press release. Is there more that I'm not seeing, or is that just a typo?
That was foreign. That was because I did my county. That kind of slipped my mind. I did 3 newspapers, so I had 3 papers, 1 for each newspaper, plus the press release itself, so that's 4 papers. If you have 2 newspapers that you do, that would be 3 papers.
Okay, so it's not the number.
Right.
I'm sorry, it's not the number of sheets. Then it's just
whatever your paperwork ends up being.
Okay, but it's a single sheet, and how many places I send it out to?
Right. And what I do is this. At first, we were teaching people to go get the newspaper clippings, and that could be a lot of work and money and chasing and all this other stuff. The bottom line is this. All you need to do is once you make contact, and I'll just briefly go through the contact. So all you do is call the newspaper, tell them you want to talk to someone about a press release. They'll put you to the proper individual. So you'll get there. They'll give you a fax number and an email. Generally, they'll prefer email. They all told me that they prefer email. So you send them an email, and you take the list. Someone's breathing heavy out there. Well, mute your mic. Anyway, you get the email out there, and you send it to them, and then you take a copy of your email. If you send a fax, you get a fax receipt. Get a copy of the fax receipt. So get the receipts. It's one page each. So if you did three newspapers, it's three pages, three receipts, plus a copy of the press release you send. In my case, that was four pages. So yours could be three pages. It could be five pages, depending on how many newspapers you send to. So, okay?
Okay, so just to clarify that I understand is that when I – call the newspaper, they're going to give me because I don't have a fax, so I'm going to have to email them.
Yeah, most of them preferred that. I did all emails.
Okay. So then what I want to do is copy all the return emails and include that into the packet that we were going to eventually submit.
Right. When you send that email out, you should have a copy of that. I save a copy of all my email. I don't know if I'm sure you have the ability to do that. You have the copy.
Yeah.
And then all you have to do is print out the copy of the email you sent. It has the headers and everything on it. And that's your proof. But we're honorable. We're showing it. Even if it doesn't have proof that would stand up in court, we don't care. We're honorable people. We're showing it. We know we did what we did. And they don't have to believe us. We really don't care. But we're going to do the honorable thing. We're going to put on a good show. And we're going to do due diligence, and that's the bottom line on it. So, and if they only have a fax, and you don't have a fax machine, just go down to Staple. I think they charge you a buck, and then you'll get a receipt too. So,
is that to send a fax? Then you mean?
Yeah, to send a fax. Yeah, if you have to do fax, but all of the newspapers I called preferred the email.
Okay.
Over the fax.
And I have a question on the. Dutchess County, New York Grand Jury. It's the page for the chief clerk,
right.
And then it has Michael Thompson here.
Right.
It's now the address here, 10 Market Street.
Right.
I can't
yeah,
pronounce.
That's all specific for me.
Yeah, right. And so what I would put there is for Lancaster County, right?
Right. Whatever information is to your courthouse in your county with the name of the person, you can find that person online. You know, just go in and look for the chief clerk in your county, and you'll find them.
Okay. Well, I have a question on the clerk, too. But what I was really asking about was these two phone numbers, the phone number and the fax.
Right.
What would those be to the county courthouse?
I'll have to go look at that. Let me open that. I should have been opening this as you're talking. Okay, now which one are we? What are we looking at now? The
okay,
letter?
It's the cover
letter?
Sheet. Yeah, the, to the letter for
the chief clerk.
Chief clerk.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Now this is what I did. Okay. This mm-hmm. here. Is our new address. This is our address. And
that's your
this
address.
Is their address, right, because we're the Dutchess County, New York Grand Jury. And we will operate, we have to operate by, well, not by law, it's just by tradition. Judge Scalia made this point, and other judges have said in the past, that the grand jury should be operating out of the courthouse. You could do all of your work, all your investigation, all of your meetings, all your discussions on the internet. You could do it in, you know, on webinar. You could do it anywhere you want. You could do it on Skype, in a private room, anything you want, a phone, any way you want to do it. But when it comes to doing the business of calling people down to talk with them concerning a potential indictment, when you summons people, you summons them down to the courthouse. That work is done at the courthouse. So therefore, that's our place of work. And we're going to have the room, the jury room, The Grand Jury Room is at 10 Market Street, Poughkeepsie, New York. And the phone number right now is my phone number, and it's my fax number. And what we'll do, you can go online, and I'll post this information. I should have posted this already. There is a place online where you can get a phone number and a fax number, and you can get it for, like, I think it's $19 a month. Now, you get incoming fax, outgoing fax. It's got a message system. It's got a very sophisticated system set up. But the nice thing about it is you may take the number 1 week, and another person, maybe the secretary, will take the numbers and deal with it another week, and maybe another week another jury foreman or secretary will take it. Depending on how many jury foremen you have and secretaries, you can kind of share answering the phone and answering the fax, responding to faxes. Right. Okay?
Right now it's only me and my county.
So you would have access, and you can get the numbers. You use what you want for right now, but at some point we need to get a number and faxes that's easy to move around to people, so people kind of get the duty watch of dealing with the phone and the fax for a week and then moving it to someone else to deal with. And you'll do it maybe once a month or something. I don't know. You'll have to work that out.
So those phone numbers would be my phone number, and the Market Street would just be the county courthouse location. Now, the chief clerk, now I'm in Pennsylvania, okay, and it's set up differently than New York State.
I understand that, yeah.
Okay, and it has a unified judicial system, and it has a supreme court of the whole state of Pennsylvania, and then, the court that's in Lancaster City is the Common Court of Common Pleas.
Right.
And so that would be the county seat. And when I was starting to look up the clerks in Lancaster County Common Pleas, there's three different clerks. There's a clerk of courts, okay, that's criminal.
Right.
Then there's a Andrea McHugh. She is a clerk that is for the commissioners of Lancaster City, which is kind of outside of the judicial process. But there's also a title I saw where it says chief clerk for her. And then the pathonitary, which is, I looked that up, it's the first chief or highest admin. And so that would be another for that. She's for civil. Okay. And then Randall O. Wagner, he is Board of Elections clerk.
Okay, well, what you need to do, it sounds like the first one might be the one. If you go down to the courthouse and you look for the clerk of the court, okay, you tell them you have a couple of questions on procedures, who would I speak to, and they'll send you to that particular clerk. And when you go talk to that clerk, you'll find out that that person is working in the office where they take the filings for all of the papers, okay, that brings them to the judges. Now, the filing, when you file a court case, at least in New York, we file it with the county clerk, okay? And the county clerk takes all the information. They hold the archives. They keep all the records. At some point, when it moves to that you're dealing with the judge will take the file, and he'll have the file, and that'll happen. It'll be given to the court clerk, and the court clerk will hold the file for the judge during the duration of the file, during the duration of the trial different meetings and stuff. And then when they're done with it, they send it back to the county clerk. But that person who's taking the files, that's the clerk we're talking about. So you just have to find out who the clerk of the court is that handles and maintains the files for the judges.
Okay, like I said, there's one that's civil and one that's criminal. So
go to the criminal. Deal with the criminal. We're not going into the civil court. We're in the criminal court.
Okay, we're dealing with the criminal court.
Right, because remember, we're guiding criminal actions.
Okay, all right. And then just one other quick question on that, cover page that says, how to conduct the election process. It was also where I said about the page four, how many pages was that sheet. It has a thing about who is the Supreme County Court Clerk, and I got that. I looked up on Dutchess County. They seem to have their court set up differently.
Yes, so, I noticed that in different states have it differently. You're in what state? Pennsylvania?
Pennsylvania. So what I need
Pennsylvania is very different than us, and every state seems to be a little different. But remember this. There's a court in every county, and that court has a judge that's probably elected, and that's the court you're looking at.
Yeah, they're all the judges here are elected.
Okay.
Every single one.
And right, but, you know, the town courts are DC Prius courts, so they don't count. They're not common law courts. They're administrative courts. They have really no power. They have as much power as you give them. If you go to court and believe that the sentence he gives you is real, then you're going to go to jail. But if you don't believe
have,
it's real, you're not going
justices,
to
we have justices of the peace in every county, and sometimes even some towns have more than one.
Right, you got to find the common law court, the place where people go for the criminal activities. And okay, have some stuff on a town level, but forget that. That has nothing
now,
to do with
it. Now, do I have to send anything to the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania, their clerk?
Now, the Supreme Court has locations where?
That's the whole state of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, but they have one a location in every county?
No, it's in Harrisburg.
Only one place?
That's what I understand is that it's
if that's
located
the case, and that's probably the court. That's
the
probably
capital.
The appeals court.
Yeah,
that court probably
that's
gets
exactly.
It. Right, so the trial court is where you want to be. They just have
okay.
It, they call it differently, that's all.
Okay, so the trial court is where I want to be, and that is my
in the county.
County court.
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
All right. And anybody who's got these kind of questions, it's a little different than us. If we can't answer the questions, we do have a group of people who will be coming online soon. We'll get meetings with them, and we can get counsel from them. And even helping us to write papers and so on. Okay, who's next? Who is the next one there, Gerard? Was that Marvin that had the hand up?
Marvin, but I think he hung up. Yeah, I don't see him
there.
Anymore. I don't
he's
know. You still have
Marvin,
him there?
Marvin, I see your hand is up. I'm unmuting
oh,
you
is
if
he?
You want to take the mic. If not, we'll go up to Kimberly. But Marvin, do you want to speak? Marvin Chapman. And he might have walked away from his computer.
Yeah, he's not even in my list anymore. I don't know what happened to him.
All right, Marvin, if you want to speak, raise your hand again. Kimberly, go right ahead. You got the mic. Kimberly? Kimberly Hirsch. You've been unmuted. Anybody got a question or a comment, raise your hand and we'll unmute you. Kimberly Hirsch, you've got the mic. Okay, maybe Kimberly's away from her computer too. All right, anybody else have anything? Mics are open. We'll open your mic. If you got
I'll a- just say a couple things here.
Go right ahead, Lee.
Myself being the only individual, the only one of the people here in this county that is working towards getting a grand jury elected. For those who are a little less educated, there are lists on our website where you can see who has signed up to be an organizer, and those of us who are organizers need to be prepared to help educate those who are less educated and help them along their way, help them understand and help get things organized. That is what we signed up to do. I would like to send shout out to those that we are growing very fast, and I'm happy to see that we are now over 54 on this webinar today. Some we know, some more we don't know. We are here to help guide and help people who do not quite understand the power behind what we're doing and the reason behind what we're doing and the process of how to do it. We are here to answer those questions, so please, you can look us up. We have our phone numbers on the organization list pages. Please contact us so that we can get this going as fast and as prudent as possible, I guess is the word.
All right, thanks, Lee. Edward, you got the mic. Go right ahead, Ed. Edward Durfrey.
Okay, hold on. Where's my mic here?
I'm hearing you anyway.
Are you hearing me?
I'm hearing you. It may be maybe it's in your monitor.
No, it's fine. I just wanted to make sure you were hearing me.
Yes.
I was really interested in what is the best way to present this, because I feel like, you know, I am just getting involved in it, and right. I just wanted to figure out what is the best course of action here as far as getting other people involved?
Well, look, unless you have the opportunity to talk to someone and they're going to be totally silent for 15 minutes to a half hour, maybe longer, and listen to everything you have to say without saying, well, wait, what about this and what about that, you're not going to get the message to them, because it's a message that once you hear it, it's great, but you got to get the person's undivided attention. So what we tell people to do is just get them to our front page. Tell them, hey, look, I found something about the common law grand jury. Have you ever heard of that? Let me tell you, I'm blown away, or whatever you think, whatever your impression was about what you just learned, and say, look, you got to go take a look at this because I think this is the answer. Go to nationallibertyalliance.org. And there's a video out there right on the front page, just a little bit down. It says Power of the Grand Jury. Watch that, and I'm going to give you a call tomorrow, and we'll talk about that, because I think this is the answer to our problems. I think this is going to give us the power to take our country back. And then follow up with the call. They'll probably say, I forgot all about it. Well, look, okay, see if you can watch it tonight. I'll give you a call tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon or tomorrow evening or whatever the case may be. Chances are that third call, they're going to watch the video. And in some cases, I've done that where people call me. The video isn't even over. They're 15, 20 minutes in the video, and they're signing up, and they're asking questions. They're giving me names. They're talking to me about other things. And that's some of the experience I had. So it's the video that sells the people. And then once they, right under the video, it has a few questions and answers that gives them a little idea. And we constantly be trying to tell them, register, register. Once they register, okay, then they go to the landing page, which is the private page, and then they have all the instructions of everything if you want to know what to do next, just read the landing page. It gives you all the instructions, and it'll give you a great understanding of what we're doing. And those who want the extended education, follow the rest of the education down on the bottom of the page. Go take the rest of the courses. Become educated. Thomas Jefferson said, if a people expects to be ignorant and free, guess what? They expect what never was and never will be. So your heritage is common law. You have to know what your heritage is. You have to experience it in order to get the benefits, which is your inheritance. Go ahead, Lee.
And if you make yourself sheep, the wolves will eat you.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. All right.
Toes and fingers off me already.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes a little bit of that hurt for someone to stand up and say, hey, I don't deserve this anymore.
All right, so it's just about me reaching out to other people.
Yeah, just connecting. We're all learning, and if it's all new to you, it's going to take a little while before you can articulate it. You'll get everything by osmosis. Just be filling yourself, your ears, your mind, your eyes on this stuff. Do that on our website as often as possible. Download MP3s, listen to them in the car, wherever you do, when you're exercising, however you do these things. Just get around it, immerse yourself into it, and you will receive everything through osmosis alone. All of a sudden, this stuff will just pour out of your mouth, and you say, where the heck did that come from?
And you also need to make sure that your intentions are what I use as noble. We want to make sure that we are not taking this newfound power that we have with the grand jury and just taking every judge that we feel is doing wrong and trying to indict him and cause some harm to his and his family. We want to make sure that as we build these grand juries, we take cases and we build the honor of the court and build the history of the court, so as the sheriff gets involved and the DA gets involved and people on the outside are looking in, say, hey, these guys are really trying to do what is right. They're not just out to try to ramrod. But we know back in our hearts that we are doing this so that we can move this big, huge ship that we call our system of jurisprudence in a way that it brings and allows everybody the liberty in which was granted to us by God. Absolutely.
Amen. When you turn your light on, people will see.
Okay.
Anything else, Ed?
No, thank you. Thank you for all your insight. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks for coming in and giving us questions. Anybody else have anything? I don't see any hands up, so raise your hand and we'll give you a mic. Gerard, you have anything you want to
add? I got something here. Somebody says here, we filed a complaint against our city. This is Ernie White. Our city council with the DA in Riverdale County, California. Can we have a grand jury indictment as well? And the thing is I can answer that. First of all, you're never going to get a DA to go up against the whole city council. It's never going to happen. One of the things we learned in our court cases is you can't sue the system. You have to sue the people. You have to sue them personally. And you know, the thing about the grand jury is, though, if you go into a grand jury with a complaint about your city council, the grand jury can investigate your city council, pull them in, ask them questions, see what they're doing. And if they're doing illegal stuff, the grand jury can say, cut it out. Now, that's your remedy right there. And that will probably be enough. If you get the grand jury to call a city council that's doing illegal stuff, they're going to think way twice before they do anything else. But as far as the DA doing anything against a whole city council, I think you'll see a cold day in hell before that ever happens.
Alisa, you got the mic. Go right ahead. Alisa Lutz, go right ahead.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Sounds like a Verizon.
Oh, wow. I can't even believe I am so computer illiterate that I did all this right.
Well, you're not that illiterate.
Wow, I'm getting good. I have mostly just a couple of statements, and I do have a question. There were also some militias. I am involved in the California Free Militia out here, and there's some people that approached us about this grand jury. We've been talking about this for a while now, about putting them together, because it's the only way I'm going to be able to get Pelosi, somebody to go get Pelosi and put handcuffs on her and take her away. But here's
my
thing.
Well, we're not on a witch hunt, but believe me, people will come
in.
No,
I know. I know.
Okay.
But we do. The people that are destroying this nation and are not going to stop until they destroy us have to be reined in.
There are groups that are putting all kinds of, getting all kinds of evidence on all these people, and when the grand jury appears, these people will appear with their evidence, and indictments
Correct.
Will take place. So that includes even Obama, if he's indictable, and Bush, and all these people, if they're indictable, believe me, the evidence will come up. We don't have to seek them out.
Right,
and
I
all we have to
do
is force Hitler and Stalin to obey the law, and they will under the fear of indictment. It's that simple.
Right. Here's the thing that I guess I want to bring out. People are having a lot of trouble trying to mix de facto law, which is statute law,
uh-huh.
with common law, and
right.
the two don't mix. One is unlawful, one is lawful.
Well, that's so, not totally true, and I'll tell you why. These statutes have a purpose. Statutes are good to – statutes is actually policies and procedures for our servants. In government. That's what it is. It tells them what they can do, what they can't do. It sets forth the law that they have to obey, and it also sets forth penalties if they don't obey. And there are Supreme Court rulings that make that point. Statutes are written for bureaucrats. It's written for municipalities, elected individuals, commissioners, appointed people. All these people, they have to obey the statutes that are written for them. Now,
well, that may very well be.
Yes, and we will use that.
I'm also involved in a class that we are, because the tyranny in California is getting so out of control. The police state is so out of control, and it's growing every day. A group of us have decided to take classes on the de facto law to train ourselves on what paperwork and contracts to put in. To stop them, when they do something, when they accuse us of one thing, we put the paperwork in, and whatever it is, the habeas corpus, which has been suspended as of right now. My bottom line is, what I'm trying to get across here is that we are going to court. We are, as groups, the Oath Keepers, a lot of us are getting together, and we're going to courts for people that are trying to save their homes through illegal foreclosures.
Right.
And I'm telling you that the courts are wiping their you-know-what with us. They are not going to follow any laws, even if it is their
right.
own
but,
laws.
Okay, let me answer some of these things, though. I agree. I understand. We're fighting court cases, too, and so we've kind of backed off a little bit. We're still fighting court cases because as soon as the grand jury's in back in power, you're not going to have to worry about this. First of all, habeas corpus will be back, and it will be executed by the grand jury itself. Anybody that has been kidnapped and has not been brought before the grand jury is going to demand their presence in front of them in 24 hours or less. there's going to be a demand. Also, the individuals who kidnapped them, they want their presence too, because they did not come to ask to get the consent of the people to arrest those people and to put them in jail and to keep them in jail, detain them. Okay, so the grand jury will file the habeas corpus, and it will be obeyed because no one can pull that out of the process once it's put in process. Nobody can stop it. It goes to the court. It must be taken through the process. Any judge that denies the habeas corpus, which is a constitutional right, will be indicted. And the
well,
next judge will come in place.
I understand that. I'm just letting you know that what we're hoping to get back to and what is happening right now are two completely different things. And the problem is that it's happening at a very fast pace. People are getting in prison and people are getting thrown in.
That's why we have to move quickly with what we're doing. Well, this is going to solve all those problems. You see, look at, just think about this. Just think about this. I'm going to give New York as an example because I'm from New York and I understand New York and the judicial process. We have 62 counties in New York. Each county has a location of the New York Supreme Court. There's only one New York Supreme Court, but it has a location in each one of the 62 counties. Each of the 62 counties has one elected judge. They have other judges too often if they're very busy, and they're usually not necessarily elected, but they're appointed. They're called acting judges, and they have authority. It's okay to have them as long as they take the oaths. But in any event, that's what we have. Now, when we walk in and we bring that judge back to common law in that judicial right there in that county, okay, that courthouse now is common law, because if it's not, then we got to remove the judge. The prosecutor understands he doesn't prosecute, indict no more. He's got to come to the mercy of us, and we'll decide who gets indicted. The trial jury will understand that they have jury nullification, and the judge will keep his mouth shut, because if he tries to tamper with the jury by telling him anything like, you got to do this or that, then he'll be indicted. So now you just return to common law, okay? And we have the common law principles. For every injury, there must be a remedy, and in order for there to be a crime, there must be an injured party. All those things are understood, and that's common law. That's how the judge is going to operate. That's how we're going to force the prosecutor to operate, because we're not going to bless any trials that indictments that isn't a real indictment for a crime. Okay, and so now, if you do that in your county, in my county, and I got 61 other counties doing the same thing, we just took the entire Supreme Court in New York statewide and brought it back to courts of justice. Now we go out. First of all, these people that are arresting people for carrying a weapon, when that person that was arrested for carrying a weapon comes to us, we're going to call the cop in and find out what the hell he thinks he's doing. Why did he kidnap him? You know, this guy can file charges on kidnapping. He may want to do that. Why did you do that? And he's going to be confused. We got him there really to straighten him out, to call him on the carpet. And believe me, when he goes back and he tells his buddy cops what just happened to him, this is going to move through the state very quickly. It's only had that to happen a few times, okay?
I honestly can't tell you that I am really hoping that this all comes together quickly, because what I'm witnessing, and I am in the courts every day with all these people, and that is not what's going on in those courts.
Well, this is all up to you. This is up to you.
And I understand. Trust me when I tell you, this is my life 24/7. I no longer have a life.
Me too. I understand that. So it's up to you. You're taking it serious, and hopefully other people will too, and it'll move as quick as we could move. I'm moving swiftly as I can. Everybody I know that's really involved, they're moving as swift. They understand time is out. The clock is over. We better do something now. You know, get 4 to 6 people, get a jury together, get 6 blocks of juries together around you, and then file. Let's do it. Let's move. Let's do it. Okay, if we don't do it, woe is us, and our children are not going to be free anymore. And we're not going to be free. So you're right. I appreciate the concern and the fact that you put all this time in, and I thank you for putting the time in.
It's my country, dude. I'm not doing it for...
Well,
I know.
I do the same thing.
It's also my country, and I'm doing it for my kids and my grandchildren and my granddaughter, and it's my responsibility just like it is everyone else's, but unfortunately, it will, you know, be the small percent of us that are on the front lines.
And that's all it takes.
Was then, and that's all it was going to be again. Yeah.
Well, you know what? Look at it. It's all the injured people who understand that these crazy statues has nothing to do with law, and that these people are out of control, and it's us who is stepping up and taking control. And as long as we do this honorably with a sense of mercy and justice, we're going to get done right the right way. And we're going to be appreciated by these people. A lot of these people are going to appreciate the fact that we did this. It may take a little while for them to figure it out, but they're also going to see that we're honorable people, and we're not on a witch hunt, and they're going to feel a little more comfortable about that too. Okay, except for the real evil people, I think we're going to see a mass exodus of people retiring and maybe even leaving the state and even the country.
It's already
that
happened,
may very well happen.
Yeah. Okay,
but when we reveal ourselves, that's when it's really going to happen. We'll see what happens. I think that's how it's going to go. But, you know.
I just have to get more, I have to go on your side because, you know, this isn't the first time I've been approached with this, and everybody starts gung-ho, but then it just all...
Oh, no, not this. No. Yeah. What you're in a room of people feeling just like you. Let me tell you right now, these people are they understand. I talk to people all day. My phone does not stop ringing. I have to pull people in, 2, 3, 4 people at a time into the same call to be able to deal with everyone. And let me tell you, it's moving across this country. Now, you said you're in California?
Yes, I am. Actually, at this moment, I am in Prescott, Arizona, because I feel in California like I am so tired of hitting my head against that wall. Yeah, we've got a group of patriots, and we're everywhere. It's always the same people. It's always the same people you can count on, and it's getting people to understand. They're starting to see it now, boy, because the police state California is under is massive, and they're starting to see it. And until it's at their front door, they're not getting this. Well, they're starting to get it now.
Mm-hmm.
But
you have 15 leaders right now in California. Okay. And
the gun thing is the problem in California, the gun thing. And they're not getting my guns. That will be my last day on earth. So I'm trying to put myself in a position where I can be in a state that has strong Second Amendment rights and that they are respecting them. And then I will, you know, help over there where I can. But when I move to Arizona, that will be my state. I've got to stop Agenda 21.
Yeah, but you can't run away from the problem.
I'm not running. I'm protecting.
I'm just saying, stand your ground wherever you're at. If it's going to be in Arizona or whatever. But here's the key thing. Here's the key thing, okay? Look, I'm in New York State. They came down with us with the SAFE Act. We probably have the most oppressive state in the entire union. Okay, this is run by the progressives. They're tight control for a long time, and so we have a lot of problems here. But I'm telling you what, in about 30 days from now, New York is going to flip like a dime. I mean, we're going to turn it right side up again, and it's going to be like a nuclear bomb, I think, and people are going
to
have their weapons.
I have to go on your website more. Yes.
Yeah, we have a lot of. You could be up there for years.
I have to get myself with the grand jury because I, you know, so much comes at me. I am extremely involved out here, but what I have to do is go on your website. I'm going to look exactly what it is that I have to do to get set up, and because I've got the people. I've got Shailene Nightingale, who ran for governor. She's one of my closest friends, and it's not like I don't have the people that I can get engaged, but we need to be engaged in something we know is going to work because people are just, it's all, like I said, it's always the same people and they're tiring out and I've got to get them going again, but it's got to be something.
I have a suggestion for you.
Uh-huh.
Go on the site and read the case, Williams against the U.S. Read what Scalia said about the grand jury and you will see that this is the power that you live. If you have people, this is about people power. You'll have no doubt in your mind that this is where you want to be. Because, listen, we were doing the committee man, and we were doing suits in court, and we learned about every last bit of corruption out there. They're horrible. You know, the games they played with us and the laws they broke to just ignore us. And when this came along, you know, after a couple, 3 years in the courts and learning common law and learning procedure, when we looked at this, and it's a good thing we did all that stuff first, because out of all that stuff grew the procedure that was created for this grand jury, because we're using common law procedures to institute it, which is going to give it its authority and its respect. So exactly. If you look and just read that case, that is the case that you can hang your hat on. And that was done in 91. That's not an old ancient case. I like the ancient stuff better because it's closer to the real stuff. But, you know, when you go into a court of law, or say, oh, what's that old stuff? We don't listen to anything after 1958 or 34 or all that. But this case was this particular case was done in 91. You know, that's still modern history as far as I'm concerned. 92. And the reason Scalia wrote it out the way he did, and those are not, I want to make a point. Those are not his words. When he says something, there are lines and lines and lines of Supreme Court cites that he puts on each sentence. So in other words, he's not giving his opinion. He's giving the authority that he's speaking the words, which is past previous Supreme Court rulings. Very powerful stuff. Nobody can come against that. It stands up there. You know, it's law that has stood the test of time, and you know, and so therefore, I don't care who comes against you. If a federal judge tells you can't do this grand jury, you say, well, who do you think you are? We have this ruling here from the Supreme Court of the United States.
Trust me, we're doing this. We're trying to do this, and every day I'm involved with the courts here, and especially Santa Ana, which is one of the most corrupt courts in the central county. And you know what they're doing now? Because they're finding out that we're getting on to them, and we're learning how to put that stuff right back in and use their own laws against them. They're starting to legislation in California to stop us from doing that, and they're instructing them to avoid us and not to put in the paperwork we want to file. They're not filing our paperwork.
Well, we'll teach you how to do that. We'll teach you how to get it filed. If there's no one there to teach you, we have files on demand, and believe me, when they get that file on demand, they won't dare prevent that paperwork.
And if you get your grand jury instituted, they're really going to. Right now, they have no leash on them. When the grand jury comes in, believe me, that's going to be the bite collar on their neck.
I've used filed on demand 3 times already, maybe 4, and they've never sent my paperwork back, and they never balked back at me since. As soon as they'd said it goes through.
And listen, one of the reasons is that file on demand, it points at the person. It doesn't point at the institution. It points at the person. And that's the only thing they understand. Listen, we've been tried over here with a lot of stuff. We've had the sheriffs and police officers exercising illegal warrants and all this stuff. And the thing that they understood the most is when they got personal lawsuits in the mail. That's what upset them the most.
Absolutely.
When they got hit with a, they didn't even get a lawsuit. They got a notice in demand that they were going to get sued. And boy, did they run like the cockroaches run. So I'm telling you, you can't sue the city. You can't sue the system. You have to go after the people who have, and they may think that they're immune, but when they step outside of their job description and outside of the Constitution, I'm going to tell you, I used to be on a town board, and we had an insurance company that insured us. But when you had a person, the first thing they do is they look to see if you're operating within authority, and if you're not, they won't cover you under their insurance. Immediately, they tell you that right up front. So they understand. Believe me, they do.
Jesse, if you want to get into this conversation or you got something, mic's open there.
Well, I think what I was gathering is that how are we going to put meat behind it, you know, the effort if nobody's going to listen to us?
Oh, they'll listen. You know, we've got the process and the procedure down pat. They'll listen to us. We just did a radio program which was an internet, one of those radio and internet programs. And we talked about this particular problem because they were interested in finding out, well, how do you go about getting things enforced? It's very simple. It's a process. And I think I brought it up a little earlier. I don't know if you were in a little earlier. But the process, once you file the paper, and we do all of our filings with file on demand, and in this case, we're always going to file on demand, at least until we train these people. So we file the paper with a file on demand, and they will not take it out. They will not send it back because they will have to deal with U.S. code violations and prison terms from 1 year to 20 years, even to 40 years. Now, if we have a problem where a particular county can't get the paperwork through and they got a bold judge that just won't move, okay, that's why we tell everybody do it in blocks of 5, 6, 7, 8 counties at a time, because you call to your sister county and ask them to consider an indictment here on this judge, and believe me, they're going to indict. They're going to call that judge down and threaten with indictment unless he moves aside. And they'll do it from their county because they have the authority to do it anywhere in the state. And that's the key thing to this whole thing. And if you get 5 counties working together and doing 5 indictments if necessary, believe me, they're going to get that message. And then if we have to indict them, we're going to go for the full boat with this guy to make an example, you know?
If anybody's concerned about the potential of needing muscle to try to force these agents to obey the will of the people, you know, the Army is there, and there are special processes to use the Army, and you go to the provost officer, and he's under oath to protect the people from enemies foreign and domestic. And there is history of those actions and processes being used to pull people out of jail who were wrongfully in jail, where the courts were actually ramrodding everybody. So there is process and there is methods where we can get remedies.
What was the name of the of that title that you said? I didn't catch it.
The title of the officer is, yeah. I've heard it pronounced Provo officer. I've heard it pronounced Provost officer.
Okay. Well, hopefully that was the key thing that I mean, I've been putting, pretty heavy, into learning, a lot of time on this idea because I realized the potential. And I just, knowing what I've went through for the last 10 years is just making sure that, when you present this, and even though it's constitutional and it's just, because these people are so unjust, how we're going to get them to
There's no remedy for them or no, authority for them to intercept anything that the grand jury does. It doesn't exist in the system. So if they do so, they're acting under color of law. And the first question is going to be to the judge, where do you think you get the authority to do that? You can't do that.
And against the common law grand jury, that's treason.
That's exactly what the indictment will be. As a matter of fact, it'll be a high treason because it's against the sovereign themselves. So that's high treason.
And what's going to be very powerful about this is the fact that all of us are coming out together. This is truly a movement of the people. So that's going to give us credibility. And, I mean, you haven't seen too many provost marshals lately, and if they did come out, they kept it quiet. But as we gain steam and as we gain respect and authority, you're going to start seeing that because these guys need something to hang their hat on. And there's nothing better to hang your hat on than the people of the United States' power. And I do believe that that's what will happen. And you'll see some of these fellows in the military that have been holding back and saying, when are these guys going to do something? Listen, Judge Scalia put this thing out in 91. It's been sitting there since 91, just waiting for somebody to pick it up. The other thing that's happened that gives us cause for hope, too, is the fact that the U.S. codes, they've been strengthening them. In 2011, I think it was, they raised the limit on the fines and made unlimited, either unlimited on the time of in jail or the fines or both. But that means somebody up there is our friend. Not too many people ever go up and do, the federal indictment on U.S. code, but somebody's up there making it stronger. We have friends up there someplace because they wouldn't be, raising the fines and lengthening the time that these government officials can go to jail.
And you never know where those are going to be. So whenever you're dealing with the people of the court, they're people and they're just trying to do their job, so you don't want to come at them all yelling with an attitude. We know that they do not know any better, and literally they are ignorant and indoctrinated to feel like they can have dominion over all of these people. And then, everybody needs to realize in that equity court system, if you enter that court system and you're a citizen, you call yourself a person, you call yourself an individual, you are submitting to that jurisdiction. You must understand that you are a king, and you must act like a king, act and move your court as a king does, and that takes knowledge.
And you'll get respect when you do it, because they'll be in awe of you when you learn how to speak well. And you don't need to know how to speak, because you could do this all through the paperwork. I would be real careful about getting up there and speaking until you're really, really savvy. But you could do this all through the paperwork. And you'll gain respect by your paperwork and by the things that you put in.
By the way, I just want to make the note that we have a second person from Alaska signed up, and that's really encouraging that they're working already up in Alaska.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry, I said, is that you still on the line yet? Just your hand still up.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize my hand was still up. I thought it got lowered when I got
it. Also, I unmuted Tracy if you want to pipe into this conversation or have something to add or one other question.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you, Tracy. Yeah. And okay. We'll leave you open, Jesse.
I don't necessarily have anything to add. I do have a question.
Sure, go ahead.
We're pretty new to this, but we are very, very excited and so hopeful with what we the people can do. One of our maybe this is a bit of a paranoid question, but if you know, as this is a true people movement, a grassroots movement, what keeps people of a different mindset to start forming their grand juries around the country that maybe aren't as liberty loving?
Well, if they're doing wrongdoing, they're breaking the law, they'll be indicted. As long as they're doing the right thing, fine. Matter of fact, we should combine with them. But if they're doing the wrong thing and they have political motives, they're doing evil things somehow, then we indict them. And grand juries have been indicted, by the way. Okay. See, it's the honorable thing and
there
the just
go.
Thing
that
you're
looking
for.
There you go. That was what I was going to say.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, there was a grand jury that was indicted down in Georgia, and the foreman had sat as foreman for something like 40-something years, which is illegal as all heck, and they eventually did indict them. So, I mean, you know, one grand jury can indict another grand jury, and so there's a check and balance there. You know?
And believe me, if you have a rogue grand jury and it's brought to the attention of another grand jury, and then, you know, and we're meeting because we need to communicate all the time. We have a plan for communicating and sharing the authority of maintaining that particular venue so that no one individual controls it, which we explained last week. You can listen to last week's program on that. But the thing is we've got to be communicating across the country. And if we have a rogue grand jury in a particular state, I think you need to get in touch with all the grand juries of the state, bring it before them, and indict in one accord. And that's it. That thing's done.
And where does that get tried?
Well, the grand jury that brought it to the plate can do it, or they can yield it over to another one. Who cares, you know, as long as it's done. So it'll be done probably in the county that other grand jury is violating in to the grand jury that's righteous there. It'll be probably done right there.
Okay.
But again, remember, you know, the key thing to the grand jury is not to do indictments necessarily. It's to reason with people and to get them to stop doing the wrongdoing. And if they did any damage, to pay the restitution and let's move on. So you get that grand jury and you give them the ultimatum. Okay. As a matter of fact, if they're really evil and they've got a record of evil, then they have to just disappear as a grand jury. Either do that or we indict you. Your choice. And leave it at that. You know, but you have to discuss it. You have to agree that that's the solution as a group of people that come together.
Do you have a timeline of when you feel that the country will be mobilized enough to really make
it? If it's not done before the end of September, I don't think, at least almost done by the end of September, we have a problem. That's why we're pushing people real hard. There are people literally... I know a lot of people, myself included, I roll out of my bed, whatever time that might be. Sometimes it's 6 in the morning, sometimes it's 10 o'clock in the morning, depending on the night before. I go to bed maybe at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, I don't know. I get 6 hours sleep, I'm back in front of this computer, and that's Monday all the way through Sunday and all over again, or Sunday all the way through Saturday, and all over again. And it's been like that for months, and I know a lot of people doing the same thing. It's a full-time effort. I'd rather be fighting this war, because that's how I see it, fighting a war. Yeah. I'd rather fight it this way than the way that it's coming down if we don't succeed. So, people, if you haven't gotten on board yet, get on board. If you haven't started to, if you get 4 to 6 people to do it, get it. Look at, why do we say 4 to 6 people to get a grand jury in your county? Usually because you have 20 or 25 towns. And let's say you have 20 towns and you got 4 people, so it's 5 towns apiece. That may take 2 or 3 hours to travel to 5 towns and post it. You know, look at, if one person is willing to spend 2 or 3 days traveling through the county to town and do it by themselves, then you could do it with one person. You could start the process with one person, get it elected, and you'll have a whole bunch of people coming in by the time you get the election done. Plus, you can hold off on filing until your sister counties, and you work with sister counties. You can draw off sister counties. You can bring together as many people as necessary. Everyone's going to work together. It's a partnership, and if it's not a partnership, we lose. If we don't, organize, we lose.
What about having witnesses at the election to be able to verify? You have to ask
the people that are there that come to the election. That could anyone mind getting up to be a witness? We need 3 witnesses. I'm sure you'll get.
Because right now, it's only me, and I'm trying to. I've been reaching out because what I first did was I understand the concept. I watched everything twice. I read through it. I put a packet together of the paperwork for the election.
Well, also bear in mind, this is a partnership thing. Call over to your sister county that may be doing this, hopefully, and get them to do it, and ask them to come over to your election so that they'll work the election with you, and you go to theirs. We're doing it. I'm going down to do 6 or 7 of them myself. I'm probably going to do Bronx and Queens and Manhattan. I'm probably going to be the one to do that. I'm going down to Putnam County to do that one. I'm probably going to end up doing Westchester County, okay? And I'm going to be working with Gerard. He's doing Green in Columbia. He's probably going to do it, but if necessary, I'll do one of them. I don't care. I'm all over the place wherever I got to go to do whatever I got to do to help all the counties because there's power in numbers. United we stand, divided we shall fall.
So is that Westchester, Pennsylvania?
No, we're in New York.
Okay, I thought you said you were coming down to Westchester, and I know there's a Westchester in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I have a Westchester in New York, right above the Bronx is Westchester. Okay. So
I have reached out to the other counties that surround me, mm-hmm. and they're not at the point where
I
am.
You're in Pennsylvania, right? You just said
right.
Pennsylvania?
Well, mm-hmm.
Why don't you let me see.
I offered to put my help out there. To do the legwork for them to find out stuff once I, because I think I'm about ready to have an election.
Do you know Hayden Smith? I think he's in the room. Do you know Hayden Smith?
I heard of his name, but I understand.
Okay, get on the phone to Hayden Smith and ask him if he knows anybody close by, and he'll probably help you.
Now, where would I find his number?
You go up right here. You see the page I'm on right now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is the county page. Go to Pennsylvania, okay? Just click on mm-hmm. Pennsylvania. Here it is right there.
And
look for Hayden Smith. His phone number's right in here. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Hayden Smith he's working Pennsylvania, but he's getting ready to leave it. He moved to Florida.
Right, he's going
to
Florida.
Right,
yeah.
So you got to go to Florida to get his number. So go to Florida, and you'll find Hayden in here.
Yeah, because I heard, I talked to somebody, I think it was from
here
New York County.
Right here.
Okay, cool. And he won't mind talking to me.
Well, I think he's in the room. If he wants to speak up, maybe he'll raise his hand. I saw him in here earlier.
I don't think he's there. We do have a few people with their hands up, though.
Yeah, okay, I don't know who was next, but I just did Lou. Jesse, you got anything more to say, or should we mute you back?
No, that's great. I'll open up to whoever else is there.
Lou, go right ahead. Okay, thank you.
Hi, good evening. Lou Aliotta from Erie County, Pennsylvania. We'd like to know where that gentleman is coming from. What county?
Oh, let me unmute him again. That was where'd he go?
Jesse
Baker. Okay, you got the power to do this too, Lee. So you can get ahead of me if you want.
I didn't want to step on your toes.
Well, step on him a little bit.
Hello?
Jesse. Yeah, Jesse.
Yes.
Lou just asked you a question. You two guys can talk. Go right ahead.
Yeah.
What did you want to know, Lou?
Yeah, Lou Aliotta from Erie County, Pennsylvania, the northwest corner up here. Where are you from, Jess?
I'm Leicester County, pretty much the opposite corner
okay.
of the state.
we had a couple of presentations from Hagen Smith. There, you know, I'll tell you, there is so much material, but if you take it in sections, it does make sense. We are just getting started here in Erie County. We are going to start a common law grand jury. We're a little bit, you know, behind, but just to get people interested, once they're taught, they're enlightened, they're educated, the people are empowered. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, I've looked at all the videos on the private page, and I think I'm ready because I understand the process of the election because I focused on that, and I've listened to Bill Thornton and his tapes on common law. I'm getting feedback, so it's kind of hard to talk. But anyhow.
Well, go ahead. I just muted Lou. He's probably coming through him, and I'll unmute him when you're done. Go ahead.
The thing is, because I have the seal ordered and everything, okay? I know what I need. I need to have a projector yet, a digital projector. I still haven't figured out how I'm going to get a notary there at the election.
But bear in mind, if you don't have a notary is not necessary because people can take the papers, have them notarized, then they have to get it back to you. But let them come to you because you're putting the work out to do all this more than the others. And it's easier for three people all to find you than to you go out search three people's places in three different directions. You know? So let the people take the paper with them.
I'm just afraid if I give it to them, I'll never see them again.
Oh, well, you got to follow up. You got to make the arrangements. No, you got to make the arrangement that they're going to do it the next morning or whatever, or the next evening to drop it off somewhere for you. It's probably wise to get two other people at minimum working with you. So you got the three witnesses. You could be the three witnesses alone. When we did it, we had enough people that we had different witnesses that signed the front paper and other three witnesses that did the affidavits. So we had different people, different names, a lot of people involved.
Yeah, this past weekend I reached out to people, you know, that I was talking to and trying to get them on board. So hopefully I'll have some, you know, fruit there that will decide to come on board. But as of yet, I haven't heard anything.
Well, you'll get there. Let me let Lou back in.
Okay.
Hang on a second. Lou, you want to respond to any of this?
No, I'm listening and I'm taking it all in. Unfortunately, Hagen is going to be going to Florida for a period of time. I'm going to be looking.
And he's working in Kentucky, I hear. We got Kentucky came in, and that's probably because he told me, he gave me a call and said he was working in Kentucky, and all of a sudden Kentucky showed up. So Hagen is really out there working, let me tell you. And he's got a lot of stuff going in Florida, too.
Yeah, no question about that. I'm going to be looking in Ohio to see who's close by in Ohio in the interim so that we could speed it up a little bit longer. Just to give everyone an update, I have filed a criminal complaint against a former school superintendent, and the district attorney dismissed it. Right now, I am going to appeal it to the attorney general in the Commonwealth in Harrisburg, and I may take it to Common Pleas. But and again, that's my plans right now. I think there's some DAs that are obstructionists more than for the people and by the people. But thank you again, John. You're super. This is my first evening, and I've learned a lot. Thank you.
Hey, well, thanks for saying that. Also, you know, you can listen to some of our past programming. The last couple of weeks, actually, all of the programming that is in the webinars on a Monday night is pretty much pushing the elections and giving information and giving new information and some of the problems we had during elections and how we dealt with it and so on. So you might want to listen to some of that. Okay,
Ruth Bennett, your mute is off. You may speak freely now.
Hello, everybody.
How you doing, Rosanna?
Okay.
Someone's too close to their mic, breathing in it too heavy there. Mute the mic. Go ahead, Rosanna.
Well, I guess Ron's on here from Ohio. That's good.
Okay.
Call him. He was on here earlier in the chat or on the phone. I forget which one now. But, and I don't know, is Lou from Ohio? He just got off the phone? Because he's not signed up yet if he is.
I don't know. That. I thought they were from Pennsylvania, Ron and Lou.
Yeah, we're not signed up yet. Pennsylvania. Erie.
But weren't you looking for someone from Ohio, or weren't you looking for something in Ohio?
Yes, just as a contact.
Oh, well, okay, well, that would be me, but or someone, one of us anyway. And while I'm on here, and I have to get back with you, John, about the habeas corpus for my dad, but I want to ask you something. This, the original 13th Amendment, the one where nobility is not supposed to be in the courts. I've been doing some research on this, and then they kind of miraculously took it out and put the supplemented it. Can the grand jury do something with that?
You bet. Look, I think it's clear. Did I just lose connection here? Okay, no, I guess
not with me.
Okay, yeah, I think it's clear what the law is concerning lawyers. It's also in the Constitution too, but they felt that they had to clarify it with the 13th Amendment, and the grand jury has to come to. We have to research this. Well, we don't have to. Research is done. We have to wonder what the hell happened to the 13th Amendment, and we want it back. That's what we have to do.
But all these constitutions
right here, you'll
have,
find it on the founding documents here. I think this is it here on the 13th Amendment. Let me open this.
Well, I've got it right in front of me. You know,
the original 13th Amendment.
Any citizen of the United States shall accept, claim, citizenship, receive, or retain any title of nobility or honor or shall blah, 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 blah. You know what it says.
Right, but this document shows the journals throughout the different states and the Senate showing that this has passed, okay?
Yeah, it was ratified, huh?
Right. Okay, so people can go through this document. So the grand jury at some point in one accord, we have to get together on this. All 3,141 grand juries, hopefully at some point, need to come up in one accord and say, what the hell happened to the 13th Amendment? Let's get it back there. Let's fix this. Okay, even if we have to call the other
13th Amendment. Right, because I'm looking at the new version now. I'm looking at the new version now, which is Section 1 and 2, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, blah, blah, blah. And then number 2, Congress shall have power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. I mean, that's not the original 13th Amendment. That's what's in there now, but it's not the original.
And there was no need for that amendment anyway because it's already in first of all, it was in the Declaration of Independence, and it was also already in the Bill of Rights. So that 13th Amendment wasn't really necessary. But we can leave it there. If the people want to leave it there and call it 13A, this has got to be 13.
Right. And so I'm going to call you here in a few days about that habeas corpus, which would be a great thing to take to the common law grand jury on my father. I think that would
absolutely
be an awesome
thing. Absolutely. The habeas corpus, we're going to resurrect it, and no one's going to stop it. And when the grand jury uses it like crazy, then the people will start doing it too. And then when they try to refuse the people the right of habeas corpus, all they have to do is call up the grand jury, and we will answer to that call. What the hell are you doing here? What do you mean he can't use the habeas corpus? That's
a
right of the people.
Mine's already written.
We're going to do it. Look it. We just have to get these grand juries going. Everybody knows now we have to do this. We can't go to sleep. We have to do this.
So Fulton County could look at this if they got their grand juries together then, right?
Absolutely. Again, what I'm telling people is this. Get blocks of 5 or 6 or whatever you feel comfortable with, 5 or 6 counties together that'll do it all on the same day, knowing they're going to support each other in their problems. And then you'll have another block of 5 that'll show up. Even if they're another part of the state, they can work with you. You can work with them. We have to network. We're going to work on creating the website to keep constant communications with each other, whether it's on your county level or whether on your state level or on your national level. We're also going to be starting a program in the near future where we'll have a group of people who are extremely knowledgeable. And these are the people, maybe they'll come on once a week for an hour, and then we'll be able to ask the questions where we have problems, and they will come up with the solutions on how to deal with it. They'll have to brainstorm it to themselves. They'll write the paperwork if something needs to be done written, and they'll teach us, and we'll learn, and we'll go forward. So we have a lot of people involved with us.
Here's an interesting question. Like, even though I'm not in Fulton County, even though I reside, I don't know if we want to use that word reside, but live in another county, can I be on the grand jury in Fulton County?
Sure. Any county you want. Are you kidding me? Who's
going to
do investigation?
A good concept. Remember that all courts are the same courts. Just because you have a county court here and a county court over there and a city court doesn't really mean that it's unique courts and they're all unto themselves. They are all an extension of the people. And the court is the single court of the sovereign, which is the people. And so the grand juries, you're not supposed to have a grand jury in this county and a grand jury in that county. One grand jury from any people, anybody from any county will suffice. But if we keep in the county, we're localized and we're organized.
Right. Yeah, we have to have a presence, a local presence, but we are one grand jury together. And we will operate
Correct.
Together. There'll be, in my state, for instance, there's 62 grand juries. And when we go together in one accord, there'll be 62 seals on that paper when we make a decision together as a group. Okay? And when we have to operate together as states, okay, every state, look at, you've got 3,141 counties in the entire country, approximately, anyway. Okay, now the last count. Now, if we have a state like Washington, I don't know how many counties they have, I forget. Let's say they have 40 counties, 41 counties. So we have 3,000 counties in other states, and we have 40 counties in Washington. They elect their grand juries. They set the process through. They put their paperwork together in one accord. Washington, I would tell them to do it all the whole state together, if possible. Or at least half the state at one time. And then they file, and then the judges try to give them a hard time. They're gonna get the weight and the power of 3,000 grand juries throughout every state of this union down upon them, indicting them, because they won't allow the people to be free. So we will help Washington. Now, I talked with someone about there is a process where a grand jury from out of state can do certain things with other people in another state. And there's a process there. I'm going to be learning about that shortly.
You can pull laws from one state into your court action in another state. It's because all of the states are a republic, unified under the Constitution of the United States of America. So we can be considered all as one entity and each separate as well.
Yeah, on certain levels we can. And bear in mind, I am a citizen of the United States as spoken of in the Constitution. You know, in the Constitution, in the preamble, it says that this Constitution, you know, it's written for, by the people. We the people ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. So that being the case, said and done, as you go through the rest of that document, it refers to citizens of the United States, and it doesn't always use United States of America, but it's understood because the fiction wasn't there yet. And so you have something to realize is that I'm a citizen of the United States in the sense that I'm a citizen of New York, but tomorrow I can drive into Pennsylvania, put up shop there, or just spend a month. I'm a citizen there too. I can use the courts in Pennsylvania. I can use the courts in Jersey. I can exercise all of my rights in any of the states. You see, even though I'm domiciled in New York, I can go and I can be a resident in any of the states, and as if I'm domiciled, and have all of the power and the authority of a sovereign in that state. Okay, so that gives us the ability to really work with other states to bring them back into the fold and to protect them from tyrants like these judges in Washington. We're talking about the state of Washington.
Okay, so we can run across the state to be in the grand jury. What about the juries? Does that apply to the juries too, the common law juries?
Well, if there's a trial, yeah, of course. We can loan up, but they'll have their own people once the trial gets done anyway. We'll do the trial right there in Washington. But trust me, when they get indicted by all these grand juries, they're just going to all back off.
Yeah.
There's no way they're going to stay under that pressure.
Hey, Jeff, okay. This is Jason, North Carolina. I just got a comment on habeas corpus.
Oh, there goes the invisible man. How you doing?
Hey, I've started reading my state constitution, and the North Carolina Constitution says habeas corpus shall not be suspended.
That's right. Same thing in the U.S. Constitution.
Well, that doesn't mean the judicial branch can't do it.
Well, they're criminals.
That's the problem.
Yeah, that's why when we get the jury, we'll fix that.
Yeah.
That's the only way we're going to fix it. If people don't realize, I think all the people that have come into this movement, they've realized that they haven't had power before, and that's why they're not succeeding anywhere, and they're never going to succeed. And this is the only way, the only thing available to us, and it is the best thing available to us. Because, look, we're taking a pebble, and we're going to knock down this giant with a pebble. Just think about what we're doing. This is a pebble, and we're going to take this big, huge giant down.
Okay, well, that's great to know, though. So I'm still working on getting with the people in Ohio that are on there.
Dominic and Charles, by the way, you're open.
Yeah, hi. Am I on?
You sure are.
Okay. I was wondering if Ernie White's on the phone. He had a few questions for you. I don't know if he's on the phone or
Ernie. I don't see Ernie White now.
Yeah, I was wondering if he was on the telephone.
Yeah, don't see him in here.
Okay, well, I'll take it from here then. Right. I'll email him and answer his questions.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Charles.
Yeah, hi. You hear me?
I can hear you. And let's see. By the way, Rosanna, you're still unmuted if you want to talk, but go ahead, Charles.
I'm from Ohio.
Oh,
and, okay, and my question is, what elements are you using that you can use right now? I mean, like... you know, instead of going to statutory court, bring it to a court of record.
Right.
And win your court case that way. So what have you done, anything like that, anything in the past?
Yeah, we've been practicing law, so to speak, now for 4 years. We've got, goodness, I don't know how many cases before the Supreme Court. We've got lots of cases. We went to the town courts. We've been in family courts. We've been to the court. We're heading up to the Court of Appeals for the first time, but we've been in the appellate courts. A couple of times. So, and we've opened courts of record. It's an uphill battle. We haven't won a court of record yet. We had one judge who, on the appellate level, who said that we had committed misdemeanor, and we're taking that up to the Court of Appeals. And as soon as we get a block of grand juries going, and we're moving into Albany now, so we're probably going to have Albany and a few other counties north of us, which is just north of us, and we're going to have a good block here. And we're going to call every single one of these judges. We got 8 judges on the appellate court. We're going to call down onto the carpet. And we've got at least 4 judges up in the Albany area. All of them we're going to call probably on the same day into the carpet. And this is going to be a unified deal with about 20 or 30 counties all acting together in one accord. And we want to know what the hell do they think that they're doing, that they're not allowing the people to have their court. Who do they think they are? Why are they acting as an nisi prius court when clearly the Constitution tells us we must have a common law court? And even in our New York State Constitution, it calls for a court of record. And a court of record is clearly defined. We give them a 26-page paper on really that gives them the whole picture of what the meaning of a court is, the sovereign, a court of record, and so on. And they still make their decisions as if they're the kings of the planet. We want to know who do they think they are. Now, we're not going to indict them, but we surely do want to intimidate them, and we're going to peer down on them just like they peered down on us, and we're going to try to hopefully make them sweat a little bit, because now they're dealing with a bunch of ignorant people that don't know anything.
Did you file a claim in diversity in the court of record?
No, I didn't.
On diversity, huh? In federal court?
My first case in federal court is coming up, matter of fact, next week, going to be our first time in federal court. But I'm hoping to retire from being in court anymore once the grand jury gets going, with the exception of sitting on that bench.
Right. I feel the same way.
Yeah.
Now, our past experiences and individual past experiences don't necessarily mean that you're going to have the same experience, because everybody, remember that the courts are staffed with people, and some of those are intelligent and some of those are not. And you got to deal with what you have. And there are remedies. The Council on Judicial Performance, for instance, that is supposed to keep those judges in check. And even them, they are sometimes, most of the time, ignorant and not performing their duty. And so we're dealing with a lot of corruption in different areas. New York seems to be especially corrupt, for lack of a better word. So, you know, Thornton in California has had very, very good success. I have had some pretty good success at the U.S. District Court level here in New York and Buffalo area. There's another gentleman who has been practicing, and, you know, practice is the wrong word, taking actions at common law and having success with it also. So it is not a impossibility. It doesn't fall on deaf ears. What you are at the whim of the intelligence of the people who are staffing your court, and whether or not there are going to be conniving and vindictive against you. And that's why it's important to be honorable towards them, be nice to them, befriend them. They're people too. Mm-hmm. There's a system behind the system, and we are relying that whenever we are, as individual kings, moving our courts at the whim of those who staff the court, because they have the power, they have the guns. And as Bill says, we don't have the power to make the system work, as they have the power to make it not work. That's why we are gaining our guns with the grand jury.
Mm-hmm. Well, if I was in statutory court, I'm moving everything to a common law court, a court of record. I'm not going to play the game in statutory court.
No, we
I'm
don't
not
either.
Be the fiction.
Right, we move right
how
into
would you
the.
Do it?
And how do you remove yourself from a statutory court?
I'm requiring that we move it to a common law or a court of record, and I'm going to serve my paperwork to the federal court. Right, I'm going to serve them, and then they're going to try to change the complaint. Because it's going to be a claim, they're going to try to change the claim into a complaint, and then I'm going to process server whoever the person is, and they're the wrongdoers, and I'm the prosecutor. So,
yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. You want to convert yourself into the plaintiff and bring action to them against the plaintiff. The only way that you can move your court of record to common law court is if you're the plaintiff. There is no other way. The plaintiff has all the power. That's the way that the kings versus kings work. King, we are all kings, and we have the ability to decree the law. And that is, we move our court if we find somebody is in.
Well, wouldn't you give them a notice first and say, you know,
there,
what are
yeah.
the elements of the notice, and then maybe
correct.
A cease and desist?
Correct. That's the honor and dishonor. You want to make sure that you do put them on notice and say, hey, you're doing this. This is why it's wrong. Either you stop or else. This is correct.
Yeah, you do a counterclaim within the Nisi Prius court to put them on notice that they don't have jurisdiction. They need to back off. You
well,
lay
you
it out.
You
give them
you
one shot.
You don't need to do a counterclaim.
Well, what you do is you just call yourself a counterplaintiff. You know, you're going to respond because you're going to respond and challenge jurisdiction. And,
yeah,
and
I mean,
that's
if you're filing a counterclaim, that's really not a notice and demand. That's moving forward with the suit without giving them notice.
Right,
that,
but
hey,
if you're in the town court already, if you're in a town court like we are in many places, the key thing is at least answer the charges to let them know that they've been kidnapped or whatever the case may be, depending on the case.
Well,
that
there's truth moving forward right away, and there's also truth where if you give them notice and the maxim where they've taken a bite of the apple more than once, and still chose to exceed.
Right. Sometimes we go too many times. Just got to do it once. After that, you open your court and their court, and you draw them into the court of record. You sue all the individuals involved, and you sue them as conspirators, and you sue the court because you want from the court a decision. You're suing the court for a final decision.
Well, this is what I do. I do a lot of. I'm sorry. I'm going to write a lot of administrative processes, right? Commercial paper on them, right? Notice of default, opportunity cure, and all that, conditional acceptances and all that. And in your contract, you get them into agreement that, any jurisdiction is going to be in a court of record in common law, and they're a fiction and they can't show up. So I would do a process, administrative process, and then verify the claim. So I need the exception to the hearsay, and then I'm rolling it into a court of record.
Well, that's interesting, the way you're approaching it. Do you have any cases to share with us?
Right,
any papers?
I'm working on one run right now.
When you get something together, if you can share with us the series of papers and the process you're using, I'd like to see that, yeah.
Yeah,
because we were trying to tie into one of our cases and turning the paper and the response back to notice and demand type thing, and it's a little difficult to do once you're in the court, but actually it's an administrative court. Why can't you do a notice and demand? You know, now that you think about it. It's not a real court.
This case was property taxes, and I gave the county
Well, they're acting under REM. They're acting under REM. They're bypassing your right of due process. Okay, because you see, when they go after your property because of taxes, what they're doing is they're running under piracy law, or actually, maritime law, and they're going after a pirate, and they'll take the ship, and they don't have to serve notice on to the individual who owns it, because they're taking it by declaring it I forget the word, but they're declaring that they own the ship, that they've taken it for whatever action they're acting upon, usually a piracy action. And so they take houses away. It's called in rem. And if you look it up so when they go after you in rem, they're not going through due process. They're totally ignoring your due process. And that's where you get them. We've already filed a case. We kind of think we had the upper hand, but then the woman took sick. She went into the hospital, and now she's in the nursing home, and I don't know if she's ever going to come out. We've got to find out what's going on with her, whether we're going to continue her case. But we had a very powerful case, and I think we had them running scared.
Wow.
It's Charles.
Yeah, because I already have them in. I already totally have them in the depot. I already got a consent to judgment on them on the county.
Was that you, Roger?
Yeah, is Charles from Ohio still on here?
Yeah, that's who I am.
That's you? Okay.
That's who I am.
Yeah, I unmuted you, so if you wanted to talk.
Can we speak sometime?
Yeah.
Okay.
You have my phone number?
No.
Are you listed on the site, Charles?
I don't know. I typed it in. I don't know if anybody's got my number.
Yeah, but I mean, did you register as a jurist?
No, I didn't register as a jurist. My friend is a jurist. He told me to come on your site. It was on her last week to come on this week. That's okay. I'll come.
Are you going to join us?
Yeah, I'm okay with it. Yeah, I'm fine with it. You know, I do a lot of express trust in the common law. Teach 2 days a week.
Okay. My name's right there. John, pull up Ohio. You just got it up there on the screen.
Okay, Rosanna right
Miller.
Here.
It's right there. Can you want me to call you, or you want to call me? Or?
Susan Miller. Oh, there
Rosanna.
You are.
Rosanna.
Oh, you're from Logan County.
Yeah, well, that's where the problems are. That's where I want to be.
Is that where the problems are at?
Charles.
2468, right?
She's,
is that what it
she's
is?
Got, she's got a story for you.
I got a story for you.
Oh, yeah?
A bad story.
She's living a horror.
My phone number is a very unique number. It's 234-567-3409.
Okay, now still slow down. 234-567-3409. Okay.
I was trying to get the number 234-567-8910, but it didn't really work out for me.
Oh, really? You wanted a specific number. Okay.
234-567-8910. That's good. I like that.
No, good number of me.
Well, I got 2468.
Who do we appreciate?
Whereabouts in Ohio are you?
Columbiana County.
Where is it?
Columbiana County, near Lisbon. Salem.
I don't know where that's at.
It's on the other side of the state by Pittsburgh.
Okay, all right.
Anybody all else right, have well, a question? Raise your hand.
Yeah, I'll give you a call, and I can run this by you.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you what happened to me the other day. It was an ad in the newspaper, an article in the newspaper that said that ODNR, which is Ohio Development and Natural Resources, said if you do not get into a contract with its fracking going on over here, they will force pull you into some fracking deal, and you will, have to take the deal. Essentially, steal your minerals, and you get nothing for it. No compensation for it.
Really?
So I called the ODNR, and then I got a hold of one of the attorneys, and I was very clear when I said to him, I says, do you have a right to administrate my property?
The attorney says, no. I said to him, I says, then when you give me a license to Chesapeake Energy, are they having a right to administrate your property? He said, well, we can argue that on a common pleas court, a municipal court, or something like that. I said to him, I says, you know what? I says, I still have the original land grant, land patent on this property, and I do have acknowledgments of the deeds on my property. And I said, if you want to take this, since I don't understand your statutes, codes, ordinances, policies, or legalese, I said, we'll take this to a court of record in the common law. He said, I don't want to take it down there. And I said, well, if you do any trespass against my property, that's where we end up. He said, we are not hurting you right now. I said, absolutely not. So right then and there, I knew that I had him, the attorney. Mm-hmm. He did not want to go down that road down the court of record. So that's where I'm at mm-hmm. right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's just it's a weapon we can use for until this is all, you know, you get this all together.
Uh-huh. Right. That's what I'm getting ready to do on a criminal trespassing. They got me on at my parents' home, and they did it just to keep me away from my father. I'm serious. So they've been motioning on me. I'm going to counterclaim because I have them under perjury. I've got new evidence now. Motion 60B, new evidence, mm-hmm. relief from judgment. And so I was going to do a counterclaim with this new evidence that the officers on the stand perjured themselves. Because I have
you have to go after them for kidnapping. And
police officers are allowed to lie.
Well,
they are.
Yeah. Well,
that's what they do.
It's not just them. It's also a lawyer that got on the stand. And because I stood, I'll tell you later, but I stayed outside. I demurred. There was no representation. I stayed outside the bar. I told them they have no jurisdiction, no standing, no cause of action. You won't hear me in the hearing. It was a complete pains and penalties what it was because
you realize if you take this to a common law court or court of record and you hurt somebody with a trespass, you know the penalties are a lot more severe than an equity court if you would just do your just a regular hearing that way. You realize that. So if there's no damage, like everybody says, court of record would be okay. But if there's a damage, you could get stung pretty good at that.
It's my parents' home. I'm allowed to be there. I'm the power of attorney. I mean, that's my parents' home.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I was filing for guardianship of my father. He's mentally impaired.
Mm-hmm. Right, they kidnapped him. That's what they did. And that's what she needs to file is kidnapping charges. But anyway, anybody else out there that wants to pipe in, it's 11:15.
Right.
If nobody else has anything, I think we'll get ready to shut down. And we'll be back next Monday, as we are every single Monday. The elections are on. We'll be posting the latest elections. If you've got elections to post, get them to us. Let's do it. I see Dominic has his hand raised, so let me unmute Dominic. Go right ahead.
Hey, John, can I give you a call? I got an email here from somebody.
As soon as we're done, call me in and pull you into Skype. Lee, don't leave. And Gerard, I want to talk both of you in Skype after this. I have a personal thing I want to talk about. And Dominic, you're invited in. So I want to go through a few things with you. Okay?
Yeah, I got to send this email to you. And nevertheless, because I want you to read it.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Send it over now, and I'll see you in Skype in a few minutes.
All right. Thanks.
Anybody else have anything? Charles, you have anything else to say? Rosanna, anything else before we close down?
My friend just told me that the Vatican just ended up saying that they're getting conveying all liabilities personally to all the attorneys in the United States.
The what?
The Vatican, I guess the Pope, is saying that he is not going to. I haven't seen the article. I'm waiting for it right now. That they have the attorneys and judges and that they have all this, you know, they can't be liable for anything. But
right.
What they're saying is the Vatican is saying is now you can personally be liable for everything. So I'm waiting for that article. I think it'd be a full article. And he said it was in the Vatican, but I couldn't find it.
Yeah.
Hey Charlie, what's up?
That is very
conversion.
Curious.
That's what the conversion RV that just happened. That's a part of the people leaving September the 1st.
Right. Absolutely, and it all keys into it, right, where our treasury's gone?
Yep, that's already been out, that was posted.
Yes, there's some merit to what's going on, yes.
That's all I have to say tonight.
All right. With that, if nobody else has anything, I don't see any of the hands. Anybody has anything final to say, raise your hand. If not, hold your peace till next Monday. And we will be back next Monday again, 8:45. We actually start at 9, but we collect at 8:45. That's going to be our normal time for this point, from this point forward. So I don't see any hands. So with that, God bless everyone, and Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. And let's get out into the battle. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Good night.
Goodbye.
Good night.